It's the most wonderful time of the year. Right? Sing? Nobody? Okay. No worries then, I'll sing alone. And I'll talk alone for the next hour or so. Here on Chiefs Central on Sports Radio 810, I'm Joshua Briscoe, and gosh dang it, it's finally here! Football, is here tomorrow! This is the last version of this show without having a 2018 Chiefs football game to talk about, playoffs notwithstanding, and I'm so glad that it's here. Plus, we have some news that's a little more solidified from our conversation that we got to touch on last night. We have a little more information about what we can expect in a post-Daniel Sorensen world with the Kansas City Chiefs, and also just how long that time period is going to be. We'll talk about that some today. And also, as always, but especially today, if you tweet me throughout the show, at JB Briscoe, I will bring your questions to air. You can tweet at JB Briscoe or at Sports Radio 810 or both, and use the hashtag Chiefs Central. Hashtag Chiefs Central. And I'll take your questions. We'll break down whatever it is that you're looking for. But the main thing is we're going to talk about the safety position and see what the Chiefs are likely to do as they have to deal with at least a little while without Daniel Sorensen, who, like it or not, was going to be the Chiefs starting safety week one, or at least he was going to be tomorrow. No, he's out for a while. And we've got to figure out how the Chiefs make maybe their weakest position on the field that has now gotten weaker, how they make that position more of a strength. And I'm going to go through every position on this team, and I'm going to give you a guy to keep an eye on tomorrow. And I promise not to always take the easy route. Some of them you'll be able to predict ahead of time, I'm sure. But I'm not going to tell you that the quarterback to watch tomorrow is Patrick Mahomes. It is. But that's not where I'm going with this. We'll go through all of those today. However long that takes tonight, we will make sure we get to literally every position group. I've got names at all of these places that I think you're going to be excited to hear about if you haven't already. But consider this your crash course. Consider this if you're one of the people that just hasn't been absolutely ready to go through this entire offseason, and you went, oh man, there's a game tomorrow. I got to catch up. Don't worry. That's what the show's going to be for tonight. But first, we got to talk about Daniel Sorensen. Looks like he's probably going to miss about 8 weeks or so, maybe a little bit of wiggle room in the other direction. And my inclination right now, that I will explain the logic behind here in a second, but my current expectation is that the Chiefs are going to lean on the guys who are already on the roster to replace Daniel Sorensen. However, the first 3 weeks are a really bad trio of games to be without one of your starting safeties. Because the Chiefs are at the Chargers. I'm not terrified of Phillip Rivers. Maybe his arm might fall off partway through the season, but I don't want to be playing him without one of your safeties right now. At the Pittsburgh Steelers, similar thing could be said about Ben Roethlisberger. Not interested in playing him. The depleted secondary. And then versus the Niners in Arrowhead. I don't know if Jimmy Garoppolo is exactly the second coming of Tom Brady, but I'd rather not be the team that indicates that he might be because you've got nobody who can stop him in your secondary. So that's where I've got some real concerns. And then in week four, it's the Broncos, and I'm less worried. But those first 3 weeks are a big deal, man. Especially if Patrick Mahomes, you know, like every quarterback, gets better throughout the season, which implies that he won't be in absolutely perfect shape right out of the gate. So I think the Chiefs, and I would assume the Chiefs, are, and should be, looking at other options right now. Now, to just make this even more obvious, I thought the Chiefs should have been doing this well before Daniel Sorensen got hurt. I thought the Chiefs should have added someone before the NFL draft to give themselves some flexibility. Then I really thought they should have somebody after the draft they would bring in to fix this position. And they didn't do that then either. And now I feel like I am screaming at the sky that the Chiefs need to bring in somebody to strengthen this group that is really depleted right now. And so I'll talk about the guys on the roster after I give you the options. And there are really limited options right now. But if Daniel Sorensen is missing at the Chargers, at the Steelers, Niners at home, maybe at the Broncos, maybe the Jags at home, maybe at the Patriots, you're making a really difficult first 6 weeks even harder. And right now, there is a 26-year-old free agent safety who has made a Pro Bowl, who didn't get signed whenever the Titans ended up landing on, I believe, Kenny Vaccaro. Just a few days ago, to replace their injured safety. He's not on a team right now. He's a logical fit beside Eric Berry. He can play anywhere. And he would be the second best safety on this team, even whenever Daniel Sorensen does return. And all of this has been true since before the NFL draft. It's Eric Reed. It's obvious. And if you feel like you know who Eric Reed is, but you're not totally sure where to place him, he was the guy who was the first follower alongside Colin Kaepernick whenever they started their protests that took place during the national anthem. And Eric Reed has spoken very eloquently and very thoroughly about those protests in the time since. He's also said that he's at least expressed willingness, I believe is the phrase, to discontinue the protest during this season, and I think he's used his platform to speak for a lot of good. He's also now filed a collusion case against the NFL that I think started right in early May after the draft came and went. And I know that the collusion case complicates things. It really could. But on one hand, it could potentially end that lawsuit, which would be great for the NFL. On the other hand, it could set a precedent for the NFL that they don't really want to deal with. And so I understand that there's murkiness there. But I do find that interesting to see where the NFL is willing to set a bad future precedent, or where they are willing to swim through some murky waters for a guy and where they aren't. And I've had several people ask me on Twitter, why would the Chiefs sign Eric Reed after sending Marcus Peters out of town for, you know, pennies on the dollar? And the reason that I'm even entertaining this conversation while talking about a team that shipped off Marcus Peters, who earned a lot of vitriol from people, I would say unfairly, for his actions or inactions during the national anthem before several games. The only reason I'm even having this conversation about Eric Reed is because I have had so many people at every turn tell me there was more to the Marcus Peters story than any of the national anthem stuff, and that was not why Marcus Peters got sent out of town. And I'm choosing to believe those people. I'm choosing to believe that it wasn't about the anthem with Marcus Peters being sent out, and man, it would be embarrassing if it was, because they did not get a good enough return on Marcus Peters to send him out if that was the only issue. So I'm believing that there are more issues. I'm taking your word for it. Honestly, I am, and so I'm saying that Eric Reed should not be disqualified from becoming a Kansas City Chief because of the collusion lawsuit, because of the national anthem. I'm choosing to believe that because he is by far the best available safety and has been the best available safety for months now, that he is a logical and worthwhile fit and investment for the Kansas City Chiefs. I'm believing all of that altogether because so many people have told me to, as far as why the Chiefs actually move on from Marcus Peters. If you believe it or not, up to you. I don't have enough of my own information to tell you anything that anyone else hasn't already said. But that's what I'm believing. And so that's why I think Eric Reed needs to be discussed as being the far and away best option for this defense. Even not just to, but through the point of before the NFL draft and all the way past whenever Daniel Sorensen does come back. Because, man, this group gets sketchy. I think it got sketchy with Daniel Sorensen. Because he does some things really well, and as a veteran leader in the back of your defense, a guy who knows everything that's going on, I can see his value on this team. I also think that with his current salary cap number, he's a bit overvalued on this defense, but I'm not losing my mind about it. But now he's gone too. Ron Parker is gone. He was a huge contributor on this team last year. The Chiefs need an impact from the safety position that's not just Eric Berry. Eric Berry and Eric Reed gives you one of the best safety duos in football. Eric Berry and Eric Murray gives you a liability. That's the Chiefs are at right now. I'll be very, very interested to see if the anthem correlation and if the collusion case disqualifies Eric Reed from becoming a Chief in the minds of any of the people who make those decisions. Andy Reid, Brett Veach, Clark Hunt, don't know. But that's obviously the name that's going to come up here and that deserves to come up here because he's a very good football player. He would fit in this defense well. He's extremely versatile. He played a ton of positions last year with the Niners. It makes too much sense to ignore. I don't feel like I'm out here telling you that the Chiefs should have not signed Chad Henne and brought in Colin Kaepernick. I don't feel like I'm forcing anything crazy in here. Eric Reed is the best player available to fix the position that the Chiefs just took a blow at after already being pretty shaky there. So I feel good about that. The other guy that I think is like a reasonable name to throw out there is Tyvon Branch. Remember him? He's with the Chiefs in 2015. But he tore his ACL last year. And whenever you're looking for a guy that's going to be like at full physical capacity right away, and not a guy that you're hoping to kind of, you know, bring back slowly, that disqualifies Tyvon Branch from this conversation. So that doesn't really help for what the Chiefs are specifically looking for right now. So let's go ahead and talk about the guys that are actually on this roster now, which is where I think ultimately this is going to stand. I don't even know if I can follow my own logic on the Eric Reed thing. I don't know if I can create the logic for even why I believe that the Chiefs aren't going to move on him. I hope they do. It would truly be fantastic for this defense. But my hunch at this point is that they're going to try to at least, obviously through this preseason game tomorrow night and maybe for a little while longer in camp, I don't know. They're at least going to give their own guys on this roster every chance to fill the spot. So let's talk about the guys that are up for some snaps. Eric Murray is the first guy that you should know a little bit more about. Last year, he played about 40% of the defensive snaps for the Chiefs, a lot of third safety stuff. Ron Parker and Daniel Sorensen last year each played more than 90% of the Chiefs' defensive snaps. Again, Eric Murray played about 40%. He's very clearly the next guy up here. In fact, throughout this offseason, I thought he made a little more sense as sort of a free safety type beside Eric Berry than Daniel Sorensen was going to. But it's also sort of penciling Eric Berry into a strong safety role where I think he's too talented to be penciled into any particular role as a safety. He does just a billion things really, really well. But I thought that Eric Murray was going to be an interesting possible starter even with Daniel Sorensen. But even then, again, I told you all before the draft and through the draft. We talked about Eric Murray before the draft and Jesse Bates during it. And the Chiefs have stood with the safety they've got right now. So Eric Murray, I think, is the leader. I think he'll probably get the start tomorrow night. But I don't know for sure. None of these guys are locked in anywhere. Leon McQuay is on this roster. Robert Golden is on this roster. And that's about all I've got on either of those two. And then the most interesting guy, and the one that this whole position, this is sort of skipping ahead to the next thing to talk about here tonight, which is who are you watching at each position? But the entire safety spot, both safety spots, with Eric Berry and then beyond Eric Berry, those are going to be worth watching without any question whatsoever. I don't know why he's not currently on the Chiefs' new depth chart on the internet that I'm currently looking at. But the rookies, both at corner spots and safety spots, are going to demand a lot of attention throughout all of the preseason. My hope right now feels like it's just that. Desperate hope is that Armani Watts stands out through the preseason. The Chiefs took him 124 in last year's draft. It's not a guy that's guaranteed to start anytime soon. Lots of fourth-round picks never start. But he has some fascinating traits. Watching him play on the ball, once the ball goes in the air, the second gear that he shifts into, and his ability to go make a play on the ball, even whenever it's not particularly near him or on the guy that he's keeping the closest eye on, it reminded me of Marcus Peters watching some of his college tape. And that's a huge compliment. And maybe an exaggerated one, but that's what it reminded me of. That the Chiefs knew they were losing guys that could help create turnovers, and that Armani Watts was a guy who could potentially step into that role and be a turnover facilitator. Even from a different position, obviously, because Watts is a safety. So Armani Watts is the guy that you should be clinging to at this point. This is where the hope lies. I don't think that Leon McQuay is going to save the safety position. I don't think any of these guys in this group offer much promise. Robert Golden is kind of interesting. I think that he is the other one alongside Eric Murray and probably more than Leon McQuay. Robert Golden, like, I could see him now making this roster in the absence of Daniel Sorensen, because he's got some of that veteran, whatever, what would you even call that? Experience. I mean, he's got experience. He played, you'll remember him with the Steelers, and now I think lots of people are probably hearing his name going, wait a second, when did the Chiefs sign him? But the Chiefs brought him in, and I could see him having a clearer path to the roster now, being one of the veteran guys, trying to fill some of what Daniel Sorensen does as a different player. But the defense is going to have to change a little bit, because Daniel Sorensen has a pretty like specific set of skills. And so trying to replace specifically those, I feel like, is a losing battle anyway, because I think you can do better than that from your number two safety on an NFL roster. So if I had to give you two specific names to watch tomorrow night from the safety position, we'll say it's the two positions. For me, it's seeing what on earth Robert Golden looks like in a game situation, because I just have no idea what to expect from him, and what Armani Watts looks like surrounded by other NFL talent. My hope is that those guys get rotated in a little bit earlier than their current depth chart slotting would indicate. By the way, I'm not worried about Armani Watts being like fourth or fifth on the depth chart from the first preseason game depth chart. Even he was hurt at the beginning of camp. He's been working his way back and everything. It's the first depth chart. Don't freak out about it. But Watts and Golden, and honestly, everybody back there, anybody who catches your eye positively or negatively tomorrow is going to give you the first glimpse of insight into how this position shapes up without Daniel Sorensen. I wish they would just go sign Eric Reed and save us a lot of trouble. Then let Murray and Golden and Watts compete for, the three of them compete for two spots. Watts is making the team. So it's Golden and Murray, and then Murray's probably making. But let those guys compete. And know that you have Eric Berry and Eric Reed, two Pro Bowl caliber, versatile, top flight talent NFL safeties. I would feel immediately so much better about this defense. But I'd be stunned if we heard anything before the game tomorrow night. So as we look ahead to that game, watch Robert Golden, watch Armani Watts. See if anybody stands out positively or negatively. That's the first bit of information you can take out of tomorrow night's game. It's a preseason game. I'm not going to try to sell you on this being something that will transform the future of the franchise. But we're going to watch it. You're listening to this show. I'm doing this show. You and I are both going to watch this game tomorrow night. I'm going to do it very happily. Whenever we come back, I'll tell you a few things you can be looking for outside of just the safety position. This is Chiefs Central here on Sports Radio 810. I'm Joshua Briscoe. Don't go anywhere. Whenever we come back, we'll take a look at the offensive side of the football. I'll give you someone at every position. It's not the guy you're already watching. I'll give you sort of a sleeper to keep your eye on so you can stay interested through all four quarters tomorrow night. Welcome back into Chiefs Central here on Sports Radio 810. My name is Joshua Briscoe, and I have the honor and the privilege of helping you get ready for tomorrow night's preseason game. I emphasized the wrong word there. For tomorrow night's preseason game. Game. I'm excited. I think you should be too. And if you're not excited, I want to help you look at things outside of just the number ones that go out there and hopefully show you a little bit of something. We'll go through some of the sleepers. Some of the guys I'll mention here will not perform well enough to end up making the team, and I'm okay with that. But I want to give you the best chance to watch into the third and fourth quarter and go, oh, yeah, I've heard of that guy. Let's see what he does. And I think we can do this throughout the whole roster. I'm using the Chiefs' unofficial depth chart that they put out a few days ago as just sort of, if I say anything about where they are as far as bringing the first or second or third stringer or whatever, it's coming off of that the Chiefs' depth chart. I mentioned earlier that Armani Watts was just at the bottom of the safety depth chart and how I'm not freaking out about it. Robert Golden is behind Eric Murray also. Again, those are the two guys over there, but we'll get back to the defense in a minute. Offense first, though. Because we're all watching the same guys in the first team. And by the way, just like a note on the first team offense, I want to see how those guys play together. And it's going to be vanilla. It's going to look nothing like the Otwell. It'll look, you will get, all right, here's the analogy. Ready? I had to reach out that sentence three times, but I have the analogy. Week one, the offense is going to be cracking open a nice Sprite. Maybe a 7-Up. I don't know what's better. I feel like a 7-Up is sweeter, but I feel like Sprite is more widely loved. So we're going to say week one, the Chiefs are going to crack open a Sprite. Throughout this preseason, the Chiefs are going to crack open a Lemon Lime LaCroix. You know it's like a sort of the same flavor, but it's not nearly as sweet. It's not nearly as satisfying, not nearly as good. You know it's kind of lemon limey, and it's carbonated. So, like, yeah, it's an NFL football offense, and Patrick Mahomes is there. But we're drinking LaCroix for the next few weeks, and then week one we crack open the Sprite. Lemon lime LaCroix. So it's going to have maybe the essence of the beginning of a flavor that you recognize before the real stuff gets here in week one. But I want to see how they work together. Even if it's short stuff, it's conservative stuff, it's quick stuff, maybe it's big stuff that doesn't work. The thing that's important here is Patrick Mahomes getting a chance to go up against another NFL team while being the number one quarterback in a situation with his starters around him. That's never happened. Patrick Mahomes has been working with his starters in St. Joseph, Missouri, and that's it. So tomorrow night, he's going to do it in Arrowhead for the first time. That Broncos game, his leading rusher was Anthony Sherman. I think his leading pass catcher was Albert Wilson. He was definitely like the number one receiver in that game. It was either him or Demetrius Harris. Those are the lead skill guys. It was Demetrius Harris and Albert Wilson and Anthony Sherman. Those were the guys catching passes from Patrick Mahomes last year in that Denver game. Are you doubting me, Charlie, or are you screeching in pain?
Well, screeching in pain, but I was trying to think of who it was that had the most. I think it was Demetrius Harris. Sounds right.
Okay, hold on. We're going to look it up now. Now, this is the thing that we can't just let go, because then someone will tweet me. By the way, if you do want to tweet me and tell me how wrong I am about something, or how great I am, and how much you love me, and how handsome I am, and how talented I am, and how great this show's going, you can do that at JB Briscoe. I don't really anticipate that you will, but you're welcome to if you'd like. Chiefs versus Broncos. Albert Wilson, leading receiver. Anthony Sherman, leading rusher. This is the supporting cast that he had in that game. Whenever he, like, blew all of our minds, that's who he was doing it with. Anthony Sherman and Albert Wilson, and now I'm hooked. Now I want to know, like, who the third leading receiver was. Kareem Hunt had that one carry, the 35-yard touchdown run that got him the rushing title. He had 35 yards on one carry. Anthony Sherman had 40 yards on 14. Albert Wilson, Demetrius Harris, Demarcus Robinson, Anthony Sherman caught 3 passes. Jeyu Chesson, Akeem Hunt each had 1. De'Anthony Thomas was targeted and he did not catch it. Like, that's what he was working with. So this is why the offense, first team offense, matters to me a little bit for exactly that reason. I want to see him play with the big guys. I don't know that Sammy Watkins is going to be out there. He had the little, like, minor hip injury or whatever. Hips are weird. I don't know. Like, I don't feel like I've ever had a minor hip anything. Like, sometimes you'll be sitting funny or you'll walk funny and your hip will pop. That is so unsettling. I assume that means I'm dying. So I'm guessing that Sammy Watkins won't want to get hit in the hip tomorrow. But I want to see how he works with the first team offense and that first team offensive line. Let's start with the receivers, though. You're watching all of the guys that you know already. The name and the number that you should be looking for is an 88 that actually has a chance to make the team. Usually the 88s that step in don't... I don't know if there's been an 88 on the active roster since Tony Gonzalez left Kansas City. But Blake Mack is really interesting. He is more or less too small to be a tight end, but he runs routes like a wide receiver. I find him terribly interesting. You probably saw the video of him in training camp smacking Daniel Sorensen on the back of the head and then just walking past him. Like, if I was trying to cover Andre the Giant, like, it was violent. At the line of scrimmage, also. Like, just violent. He's the guy to watch from that group of wide receivers. I think he could actually make this team. There's always that guy, and there's a lot of action in front of him. Because Tyreek Hill's making the team, Sammy Watkins, Chris Conley, Demarcus Robinson. I think De'Anthony Thomas as a special teamer and even Jeyu Chesson as a special teamer are almost locks. Obviously less so for Chesson and Thomas. Garrett Dieter is like close with Patrick Mahomes. You want to have that guy on your team if you can make the room for him. But if there was going to be a guy on this team to feel like he had a higher ceiling. And Marcus Kemp, we talked about him last training camp. But if there's going to be a guy on this roster that I feel like has a higher ceiling than the others, Blake Mack is pretty interesting. I'm a sucker for former tight end turned receiver or vice versa, whatever, to maximize their skill sets at an NFL level. So see if Blake Mack does anything. The quarterback to watch, I don't care one iota about Chad Henne. He's the number 2 quarterback. That's been decided. That was decided whenever they paid him what they did. The battle between Matt McGloin and Chase Litton is really interesting. Not because either of those guys will take a single snap this regular season. If either of them do, something's gone horribly wrong. Like, even if the Chiefs have won the division by 2 games and nobody plays in week 17 and then Chad Henne goes in, if Chad Henne gets hurt and it goes to McGloin or Chase Litton, you're in trouble. But I think that Andy Reid likes to have a quarterback that he can be sort of developing back behind the scenes and all that and get used to his offense. Eventually, you'd like to have a cheap Chase Daniel. And they tried to do it with Aaron Murray and obviously Tyler Bray and Kevin Hogan. The Chiefs have tried to do that. And they could do it with Chase Litton here. He's brand new into the league, out of Marshall. I find him to be an interesting prospect with some interesting tools. We said the same thing about Tyler Bray. So not that there's anything definitely there, but let's see what he can do tomorrow night. Matt McGloin, I feel like we kind of know what he is. And I feel like you could call him Chad Henne with less experience and also less success. it wouldn't hurt my feelings one bit if Matt McGloin did not make this team. Also, I could see the Chiefs doing some like, uh-oh, Chase Litton broke his fingernail in the fourth preseason game. He's now on the IR, and he's ours forever, which is what they did with Tyler Bray. Keep him in the quarterback rooms. Keep him around the team. He's never going to see the field this year, but maybe he develops into the guy that you can have behind Patrick Mahomes for the next 5 or 10 years, whatever it is that you end up having there. I think Andy Reid likes to have a guy that's familiar with his system, and I think that's going to be a strange dynamic this year whenever Chad Henne is like your quintessential backup quarterback, but not familiar with Andy Reid's system, not directly at least. So keep an eye on Chase Litton. He's the guy you should be rooting for from the quarterback situation. At running back, this is easy. It's Damian Williams. Damian Williams, I don't know how much he's going to get to see the field because I think his job isn't locked up, but it's on the way there. And I want to see how comfortable he looks out of the backfield. We know he's a great route runner. That part's established. What does it look like with the ball in his hands on the ground? Be interested to see that. And if it's not Damian Williams, there's also Kerwin Williams and Kendrick West. But I want to see if Darrell Williams shows us anything. He went to LSU, and he didn't get on the field very much because he was behind Leonard Fournette and Darius Geis the last 2 years. He's shown some burst. I like the situation of being behind two of the best runners in college football the 2 years prior, that being a pretty fair reason to not get on the field. So Darrell Williams, I'm interested in as far as running backs go. Technically, there are two fullbacks on the roster. It's Anthony Sherman and Algernon Brown. Algernon, is that anybody? Okay. I didn't know there was a second fullback until the Chiefs released this depth chart a few days ago. I feel like his name is sort of familiar, though. Charlie, can you just hum the Jeopardy theme song while I Google Algernon Brown? Just hum it. He goes by Alki Brown, it looks like. Went to BYU. All right, that's good enough.
Okay.
He's listed as a fullback on the depth chart. Looks like he played running back mostly at BYU. Andy Reid loves having a fullback, and I feel like Anthony Sherman's going to be on this team until he decides he doesn't want to be. Like, I feel like he could walk. I feel like Andy Reid could tell Anthony Sherman to bring his playbook and meet him in his office, and then Andy Reid would just end up like just adding pages to his playbook. Just be like, sorry, Anthony, you're good. I didn't mean it.
You fully support that.
I support loving Anthony Sherman and his training camp antics and me sharing the cover of the Kansas City Star with him as I lean around to take a picture of his butt. He's also making $2 million this year, and it wouldn't cost anything to cut him. So maybe if they give Brown like a really good shot at unseating Sherman, they could try it. But it,
$2 million. He's one of the best fullbacks in the league.
Yeah, no, if you're going to pay a fullback, let it be Anthony Sherman. And I don't... I like to look for like little cut situations like that where you could cut a guy for $2 million of space and not cost anything, not have to be paying him any dead cap money. You've got a rookie quarterback. If you want to make sure, and I think that the Chiefs have good reason to trust their whole backfield as far as Hunt and Ware and maybe even one of the Williamses. But like, if you want to have Anthony Sherman to make sure your quarterback doesn't get decapitated at any point, that's fine with me. That's totally okay. This is the most okay I've ever been with keeping Anthony Sherman around in 2018. It's fine with me. The offensive line, I'm going to sort of clump together because you want to see how healthy Mitch Morse looks on that first set of drives, maybe the first quarter ideally. Cameron Irving at left guard has seemed to win that job, at least to start. But that means we get to point out Parker Anger next down the line. And then also Brian Witzman. As those guys get into the mix, I want to see where they end up and how they look. Two other guys, two rookies, Ryan Hunter, for coming over from Canada, not really over, down, I guess. He's one of those names that I've had stick in my head a couple of times, but there's a lot of action going on in front of him. And Khalil McKenzie, who the Chiefs just drafted, the defensive tackle turned guard. I want to see if they even let him play. I could see him getting some run in the fourth quarter. He's not going to make the field at any point this season. But if he does play, I want to see what he looks like because he's changing positions, and that's kind of interesting. So those are the guys, the main guys offensively that I'm looking at. And again, the idea of the offense working together in that first team unit, I think, will be meaningful. Andy Reid has said that he'll try to give everybody a quarter. The four quarterbacks, at least. I think Patrick Mahomes will go out there for no more than three drives, or the first time he looks good on a drive, and whichever one comes first. So it's just getting out there, and if the first drive is a six-play touchdown drive with a couple of big throws and maybe a nice run from any of the running backs, I think you're going to see that be the end of the day. And we can't read into that too much. All right, we're going to take a break here on Chiefs Central Sports Radio 810. I'm Josh Briscoe, by the way. Hello, if you're just joining us. I hope you're having a good time. I'm having a good time because we're talking about actual football that's happening, and I'm thrilled about that. Charlie Carlin's here keeping us on the air and telling me when to break because we started at a weird time because this show happens at weird times. But I will not complain because there's football tomorrow. Whenever we come back, I'm going to give you somebody at every position on the defense you should be looking for. Even whenever we get into the second, third, and fourth quarter, you will not have a moment tomorrow night where you go, oh, wait a second, who do I watch? I'm going to keep you from ever letting that happen. I will arm you with knowledge. As long as at the fourth quarter, we might be lost. Through three quarters, I will arm you with knowledge. You're listening to Chiefs Central here on Sports Radio 810. Welcome back in the Chiefs Central here on Sports Radio 810. My name is Joshua Briscoe, getting you ready for tomorrow night's actual preseason football game. Yeah! I mean, like, it's real football, and it's happening at Arrowhead. Sometimes I feel like my general brand as a sports talker, that I don't like sports as much as most people that talk about sports for a living. And this can occasionally seem true, I'm sure, like during the throes of baseball season or whatever. But I freaking nerd out over the NFL, and I'm so glad that it's back. Do you know how hard it's been to talk about the Royals? Just kidding. We don't do that. We do some, and happily whenever we do, but I'm so glad that the Chiefs are back. Mostly, it's not about the Royals or any of the other teams in the area. It's about, do you know how exhausting it is to talk about the same Chiefs topics for like 6 months? That's where I'm actually at, and I'm so glad that we're getting new things to discuss, and I can look at the depth chart and say, hey, here's what you can be looking for tomorrow night in the actual football game up top. Charlie and I just air-fived from, I don't know, 15 feet apart and in different rooms.
With glass in between us?
Yeah. It would have sounded like this if we would have made contact. All right, let's talk about the defense. I want to give you guys what you can be looking for in the game tomorrow night. Across the defensive line, it's, weirdly enough, like, kind of cut and dry. There aren't many guys that I could really be surprised by in these groups. I know the names of Justin Hamilton and T.Y. McGill and Stephon Charles, or Stephen Charles, who I clearly know his name very well. But those guys making the team would sort of surprise me. There's going to have to be some depth from somewhere. And since the Chiefs cut Raheem Nunez-Roches, they were going to have to find their next Raheem Nunez-Roches. That cut still really strange to me. But you know that Chris Jones and Alan Bailey are your starters. And in the middle of the defense, it is Xavier Williams and Derek Nnadi. That's a non-issue, inarguable. And seeing Derek Nnadi for a little bit tomorrow will be good. He's not the starter, but I don't want to use that as my guy on the defensive line, because he's going to be a definite contributor who's obviously making this team. The Chiefs traded up to make sure they got him. But those guys getting Chiefs snaps for the first time, kind of interesting, but everything's interesting for the first quarter, I think, of this game. Down the line a little bit, the Chiefs in a Just a chef kiss, mwah, perfect, you know, kiss the tips of your fingers and then flare them out, little bon appetit, perfect. They have a defensive lineman whose name is D-Liner. And every single time I've said that, it's made me deeply, deeply joyful. And I saw him actually work quite a bit out in St. Joe because the defensive linemen were setting up in front of the broadcast tent. And he was doing a lot of work, especially early on, with Derek Nnadi, which made me wonder what exactly the plan is for D-Liner. But on the first unofficial depth chart from the Chiefs, he is listed as a defensive end behind Alan Bailey and Jarvis Jenkins. Seeing if D-Liner can get a spot on this team and then also seeing where he plays the most and how he plays, I think will be worth your time. So seeing it, where he moves around, left side, right side, if he's on the ends or if he gets some time in the middle, I think Williams and Nnadi rotating through the middle of this defense are going to be fantastic and really get combined like almost, if not literally, 100% of the snaps whenever you want to have a sort of true nose tackle in the middle of your defense. But as far as the guys down the depth chart across the defensive line, D-Liner is the guy that I want to see, mostly just because I desperately want him to make the team because of his name. Of the outside linebackers, Breeland Speaks is super obvious. He's one piece of news that I thought was kind of interesting. As much as I say, don't look too hard at the depth chart. Usually these depth charts lean against rookies, because guys who haven't seen much time, you want to let them move up the depth chart as they go, earn some clout throughout training camp and everything. Breeland Speaks started second at the left linebacker position behind Justin Houston. He's ahead of Frank Zombo on this list, and I think that's a good sign. So obviously seeing your top draft pick play in the preseason is something that we're going to be doing. But that's obvious. We know Frank Zombo. I can't tell you that anyone other than Breeland Speaks at that spot is going to be exciting to watch. At the inside positions, Anthony Hitchens and Reggie Ragland being the starters give the Chiefs such a nice core of inside linebackers. I'm excited to see this run defense step up in a big way this year. As much as I don't usually obsess over the run defense because it's the NFL in 2018, the Chiefs have fixed that problem. Yukemi Eligwe, the rookie last year, he's obviously going into a second year now. I think seeing him continue to grow, he and Terrence Smith will be the guys that make this roster behind Hitchens and Ragland. Dorian O'Daniel, though, being the guy down the depth chart a little bit, the other rookie in this conversation, the only rookie in this particular conversation, seeing how he is used will be interesting. I don't think the Chiefs are going to show us all of their secrets as far as who plays where and where things are done creatively and where they're, pretty by the book. But seeing him on the field against other NFL-sized bodies and NFL talent, seeing if he really is being used in the middle of a defense or if he comes in sooner than his spot on the depth chart would indicate, and see if he comes in some sub packages so the Chiefs can use some of that. And they're walking a fine line of how do we practice some of the things we want to be really good at this year without giving other teams too much. Maybe I'm expecting too much. The idea that maybe they'll bring in Dorian O'Daniel as a deep backer or up safety sort of hybrid. I think that's what he's built for in this league, but the Chiefs keep listing him as a linebacker, so I'll be interested to see if we even get a hint of that tomorrow night, and we very well may not. The outside linebacker spot, I know I'm telling you I'm going to get down the depth chart, but just seeing Dee Ford, move will be exciting. Tano Passanio getting any sort of action will be great. I don't expect to see anything from any of the guys behind those two. It's about getting Dee Ford and Tano Passanio on the field. Tano Passanio might be the guy that plays three quarters in this game. It's a very specific type of guy that I think could be doing that, but it's someone who is both raw and important to your future, but also not playing much this year, or at least at the beginning of this year, barring an injury. That's exactly what Tano Passanio is, and seeing him get as many snaps as possible would be great. Because again, not that you're ever, not worried about an injury, but if Passanio gets nicked up a little bit because he's trying to get playing time, I don't think that would be the end of the world. And then at the end, Tyron Holmes will get a bunch of snaps in the fourth quarter, and we'll all go, who? And then we'll all start falling asleep, and the Chiefs broadcast network will be talking to, Tana Passanio, probably. So that's what I'm keeping an eye on as far as the linebackers go. We've talked about the secondary a bunch already, so I'll save you going back through the guys in the safety spot again. It's Robert Golden and Armani Watts. Those are the two that I'm watching tomorrow night, and those guys I think matter a lot. Eric, the whole group could be could be impactful, especially with the lack of Daniel Sorensen now. From the corners, Tre'Mond Smith, and however much he gets on the field as a rookie, he is an obvious guy that I'm keeping an eye on. But this is similar to the safety group. Anybody who shows a spark tomorrow night can do themselves a lot of favors. David Amerson giving us a little bit of in-game action would be great, but I think that he is sharpied in as the third corner on this team, and we know Fuller is going to move into the slot. We'll see that in action tomorrow night, I would assume, if all those guys do, in fact, actually play. We've heard Brett Veach talk about Will Redmond and Keith Reeser. I shrug whenever I hear that, but if they make some plays tomorrow night or they shut down whoever it is they go up against, then, you know, maybe I'll talk about them a little bit on Monday, and we'll see where we can land that plane. Arian Springs, also the other rookie in this group, maybe he has a chance to make some plays. Hopefully we'll see him actually get a chance to do that. That's the guy from that group other than Tre'Mond Smith. I'm not worried about Colquitt or Butker or James Winchester. That's all pretty easy going. However, lastly, and not leastly, because one of these guys is going to eventually start, what do the Chiefs do with their return men? What is Tyreek Hill returning? What is DeAnthony Thomas returning? What about the aforementioned Tre'Mond Smith, who is extremely fast? It would be sort of surprising to see, in a vacuum, a cornerback being one of your return specialists, but Tre'Mond Smith has that quality. And I think that's one of the things the Chiefs had in mind whenever they drafted him. So how does that work? Who gets the snaps there in this preseason game? That'll be something that I think you can see from a quote-unquote starter, and then how those guys perform that'll actually directly influence what happens with this team. That's it, though. There's somebody at every position. The starters we're all watching because we're going to be watching them 16 times throughout the regular season, and then obviously also, what, four times in the postseason? I think four times. We ultimately winning the Super Bowl. I don't know, the first round bye and everything, man, it depends. I can't decide yet if the Chiefs are going to get a first round bye and then win the Super Bowl, or maybe they win the Super Bowl out of the wild card. Anything in between. We know the result, though. Yeah, it could be three or four games. The Patriots are going to go 19-0, but they... So if the Chiefs do go undefeated, it'll just be the 19 games. I hope you're excited for the game tomorrow. I certainly am. This show won't be here tomorrow because there'll be Chiefs pre- and post-game here on 810 tomorrow. The show will be back on Friday with Rudy Salazar filling in for me. I will be back on Monday, happily talking about real football action. Enjoy the game tomorrow night, and until then, I'll talk to you next time. Bye, Mom!